The Watchtower, Study Edition, April 2026. Life Story. Jehovah has trained me from my youth. As told by David Splane. The picture shows Brother David Splane working at his desk.
I stared at the slip of paper that the brother had just handed me. On it were the words, David Splane, April 8, 1953, proclaiming the world's doom. What's this? I asked. The brother answered, this is your assignment to present a talk in the Theocratic Ministry School.
The footnote reads, today this training is part of our midweek meeting.
I protested. I didn't sign up for this. But I am getting ahead of myself. I was born during World War II in Calgary, Canada. In the late 1940s, a young pioneer named Donald Fraser knocked on our family's door, and Mother accepted a Bible study. She fell in love with the truth, but serious health problems prevented her from being very active in the congregation. Still, she progressed to baptism in 1950. Sadly, she passed away less than 2 years later. My father was an unbeliever at the time, but he agreed to have the witnesses conduct her funeral service. A few days after the funeral, an older anointed sister named Alice invited me to attend a congregation meeting. She knew me because I had been going to weekend meetings with my mother when she was well enough to attend. I asked my father if I could go. He agreed and decided to go with me just once to thank the brother who had given the talk at my mother's funeral. That night, the Theocratic Ministry School and service meeting were held. It would have been impossible to pick a more appropriate first meeting for my dad to attend. He had taken a course in public speaking and was fascinated by what he heard at the meeting. My dad decided to attend that meeting every week. Little by little, he began to attend other meetings. In those days, the Theocratic Ministry School servant would start the meeting by reading out the names of the brothers who were enrolled, and they each answered, present. One night, I asked to have my name read out at the next meeting. The brother warmly commended me, but didn't ask if I understood what was involved. I had no idea I was volunteering to give talks at the school. I just wanted to have my name read out. The following week, my name was called, and I proudly answered, present. After the meeting, I received warm commendation. Several weeks later, I was handed the speaking assignment I referred to at the beginning of this article. I was in trouble. Back then, students were expected to prepare 6 to 8 minute talks. There was no assignment just for reading the Bible. My father helped me prepare the talk and made me practice it 20 times before I delivered it. Afterward, I received valuable counsel. Over the years, Jehovah has trained me through my dad, capable brothers and sisters, and his organization. The training continues. Alice, whom I mentioned earlier, trained me when I started in the ministry. In those days, we were encouraged to read 3 scriptures to the householder and then offer a bound book. When it was my turn to speak at the door, Alice would introduce herself, start the conversation, and then invite me to read the first scripture. From there, I would take over the presentation, read the second and the third scriptures, and offer the publication. Later, I learned how to introduce myself at the beginning of the call. After my dad got baptized in late 1954, he took over some of my training and field service. As a single parent, he did what he could to raise me in the truth. Where theocratic activities were concerned, he was a very disciplined person. I always knew what we would be doing on meeting nights and on Saturday and Sunday mornings. I was just an average student at school. However, some of the training I received during my 12 years there has benefited me throughout my life. For example, I learned how to add long columns of figures. I also received a fairly solid grounding in English grammar. The English courses I took and a class in creative writing have been helpful in my present assignment working with the writing department. I am often asked about my interest in music. Both of my parents were interested in music. At age 7, I took piano lessons for a while, but my teacher was not very impressed with my ability. She suggested to my dad that I stop taking lessons. I can understand why. I wasn't very motivated at the time. After a few months, my dad located another teacher. This time I studied both piano and voice, and I flourished. As a boy soprano, I had a pleasant voice and won some competitions. My goal in studying music was to obtain a degree that would allow me to teach music and support myself in the full-time ministry. As I got closer to obtaining the degree, however, I realized that I would have to spend a lot of time studying for exams regarding harmony, music history, and composition. So I gave up my studies and enrolled as a regular pioneer. The year was 1963. Pioneering brings joys. After I pioneered for a year, I was assigned as a special pioneer to Kapuskasing, Ontario. My pioneer partner, Daniel Skinner, was more than twice my age. He taught me a lot about how a congregation functions. I was appointed to serve on the Congregation Service Committee at age 20, so I had a lot to learn. I am thrilled that the organization again emphasizes the training of young brothers. If they apply themselves, they can be useful to Jehovah even at a very young age. Kapuskasing had its challenges. In winter, temperatures could dip to 44 degrees below 0 Celsius, or 47 degrees below 0 Fahrenheit, or sometimes warm up to 33 degrees below 0, or 27 degrees below 0 Fahrenheit. Dan and I mostly walked everywhere. However, one of the many joys of the assignment was meeting a sister named Linda Cole, who later became Linda Splane. Linda was a zealous publisher who had many good calls. She was generous, warm-hearted, and outgoing. Her mother, Goldie, was a faithful sister. Her dad, Alan, initially opposed the truth. Despite Alan's opposition, Goldie regularly brought Linda and her brothers, John and Gordon, to the Kingdom Hall and trained them in field service. At one time or another, Goldie, Linda, John, and Gordon all pioneered. Years later, Alan accepted the truth and became fully involved in the congregation. In 1965, I was invited to attend a month-long course of the Kingdom Ministry School at Canada Bethel to receive more training. At that school, I was invited to fill out an application to attend Gilead. I had never considered missionary work. I didn't think I had what it took. But I filled out the application. I was accepted to the 42nd class. At Gilead, we regularly received progress reports from our instructors. The first report I received encouraged me to learn everything I could about the organization while I was at school. That was certainly appropriate counsel for a 21-year-old to receive. One of the courses offered at Gilead was instruction on dealing with the media, the radio stations, the television stations, and the press. I found it fascinating. Little did I realize how beneficial that course would be in the future, as I will later explain. Off to Senegal. A few days after graduation, Michael Houle, my missionary partner, and I were on our way to our foreign assignment in Senegal, Africa. At the time, there were about 100 publishers in the country. After I had been in my assignment for several months, I was invited to work at the branch office one day a week. The branch office was just one room in a missionary home. As modest as the operation was, Emmanuel Patarakis, the branch servant, never let me forget that the branch represented Jehovah's organization in that country. On one occasion, Brother Patarakis decided that we should write a general letter of encouragement to the missionaries. In those days, there was no easy or inexpensive way to duplicate the letters, so they were prepared individually on a manual typewriter. That was a lot of work, especially since no erasures were allowed, ever. As I got ready to return to my own missionary home late that evening, Brother Patarakis handed me an envelope. He said, "David, the Society has written to you." When I later opened the envelope, I found one of the letters I had typed. That incident taught me to respect the organization without regard for how large or small the local operation may be.
The picture shows Brother Splaine and a group of joyful brothers and sisters smiling for a photo. The picture caption reads, "With Fellow Missionaries in Senegal, 1967.
I became friends with a number of publishers in the congregation and spent most Saturday evenings with local families. Those were happy times. We still keep in touch. And I have been able to use my knowledge of French when visiting branches around the world. In 1968, Linda and I got engaged. For several months thereafter, I tried to find part-time work so that Linda and I could pioneer together in Senegal. But employers there were expected to hire local people rather than foreigners. Finally, after I returned to Canada, we got married and received an assignment as special pioneers in Edmundston, New Brunswick, a small city on the border of the province of Quebec."
The picture shows David and Linda Splaine smiling while standing in a flower-covered walkway. The picture caption reads, "On our wedding day, 1969.
Pioneering in New Brunswick and Quebec. There were no publishers in town and few Bible studies. The Catholic religion dominated almost every aspect of people's lives. Nearly every house had the sign, "No Jehovah's Witnesses." At the time, the idea of respecting such a sign wasn't stressed as much as it is now, so we went to every home, whether there was a sign or not. Each week, a Catholic organization put a notice in the local newspaper, "Let's have a witch hunt for Jehovah's Witnesses." Only four witches, Victor and Velda Norberg and Linda and I, were in town, so there was no mistaking who was meant. I will never forget the first visit of the circuit overseer. After spending a week with us, he said, "Perhaps the most you can expect to accomplish while you are here is to break down prejudice." From then on, that became our goal, and it worked. Slowly, people began to see the difference between humble Jehovah's Witnesses and privileged Catholic clergy. There is now a small congregation in that city. After we spent about a year in that isolated assignment, we were invited to support a large congregation in Quebec City. We spent six pleasant months with the hospitable brothers and sisters there before being invited into the traveling work. For the next 14 years, we served circuits in the province of Quebec. Those were exciting times. The work in Quebec was at full throttle, and it was not uncommon to see several families in the same congregation working toward baptism. Remembering those who worked so hard. French-Canadian brothers and sisters are easy to love. They are straightforward, joyful, and enthusiastic. However, it was not always easy for them to accept the truth, and family opposition can be intense. Some very young people have been given an ultimatum by their unbelieving parents: stop studying with Jehovah's Witnesses or leave home. Few, if any, have given in to that pressure. Jehovah must be very proud of them. At this point, I would be remiss if I did not mention the outstanding group of regular and special pioneers who served in Quebec in those years. Most of them came from other parts of Canada. In addition to mastering the French language, they had to learn about the local culture and the way of thinking, much of which was shaped by the Catholic religion. Special pioneers were often assigned to serve in isolated territories where there were no publishers. Because of local prejudice, it was hard to find accommodations, and even harder to find a bit of part-time work. Even newly married couples lived in groups of four, six, or eight in order to share expenses. They just couldn't afford to live on their own. These devoted pioneers were hard workers. When they started a study, they gave it their full attention. Now that Quebec is no longer in need of outside help, Many of those pioneers have gone on to areas where there is a greater need. When we served congregations in the circuit work, we usually tried to work with teenagers on Saturday mornings. This allowed us to learn firsthand what challenges they were facing. Some of the teenagers we worked with are now serving abroad as missionaries or in other responsible roles. In those days, some congregations could not reimburse us for our travel expenses, so we sometimes ran out of money by the end of the month. On those occasions, we had to rely entirely on Jehovah, since He was the only one who knew our circumstances. He never let us down. Somehow, we could always travel from one congregation to the next. Lessons from Faithful Brothers. I mentioned earlier how much I benefited from our public relations course at Gilead. In those days in Quebec, we had many opportunities to give a positive witness on the radio, on television, and in the press. I was often assigned to work with Léonce Crépon, a fellow traveling overseer who was adept at dealing with the media. When approaching an important executive in the news industry, rather than try to come across as a professional, he would say, "Sir, my companion and I are just ministers. We know very little about publicity, but we have been assigned to let people know about a large convention that Jehovah's Witnesses will be holding. Any help you can give us would be much appreciated." That humble approach opened many doors that otherwise might have remained closed. Later, the branch assigned me to work with Brother Glenn Howe, one of our lawyers, on sensitive cases that could attract media attention. I benefited from my training at Gilead and from the experience I gained with Léonce. It was a real privilege to work with Brother Howe. He was absolutely fearless when dealing with the legal system, but was above all a man of God. He had a deep love for Jehovah. In 1985, we were assigned to serve a circuit close to my father's home in Western Canada, which allowed us to provide needed support for him. He passed away 3 months later. We continued serving circuits in Western Canada until 1989, when we were surprised to receive an invitation to join the United States Bethel family. That meant leaving the traveling work after nearly 19 years. Over those years, we stayed in hundreds of homes and shared thousands of meals with hospitable brothers and sisters. We are deeply grateful to all who opened their homes and shared their tables with us. We moved to the United States. When we arrived in Brooklyn, I was assigned to work in the service department. I will always be grateful for the training I received there. One of the lessons I learned was to make sure of the facts and to assume nothing. Then, in 1998, I was assigned to the writing department, where I am still learning how to write. For several years, I was privileged to assist Brother John Barr, who was the coordinator of the writing committee. I will always treasure the training I received and the time I spent with him. He had a beautiful Christian personality.
The picture shows David and Linda Splaine posing for a picture with John and Mildred Barr. The picture caption reads, "With John and Mildred Barr."
It is a real pleasure to work side by side with the humble brothers and sisters who serve in the writing department. They approach their assignment prayerfully and are fully aware that any good they accomplish is because of Jehovah's Spirit, not because of any natural ability they have.
The picture shows Brother Splaine conducting the Watchtower Chorus of 20 brothers and sisters while a sister plays the piano. The picture caption reads, "Conducting the Watchtower Chorus at the 2009 annual meeting."
It has also been a privilege for Linda and me to visit our faithful fellow believers in 110 countries. We have witnessed firsthand the love of the missionaries, of the branch committee members, and of other full-time servants. What a blessing it was to have also observed the zeal and steadfastness of the local publishers, who put kingdom interests first, despite the threat of war, economic hardship, and persecution. Jehovah must love them very much.
The picture shows Brother Splaine joyfully giving a Bible to his sister. The picture caption reads, "Handing out Bibles at the 2014 International Convention in Seoul, Korea."
Over the years, Linda has been a tremendous help to me as I try to fulfill my assignments. She is a real people person who is always looking for ways to help others. She is also very good at initiating informal conversations. She has had considerable success in attracting people to the truth, including some who were formerly inactive. Linda has been a real gift from Jehovah. As we get older, we are deeply grateful to have the help of younger brothers and sisters who assist us with our travel and other needs. When I look back on the last 8 decades, I am thankful. I agree with the psalmist who wrote, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and until now I keep declaring your wonderful works." Psalm 71:17. I intend to keep on doing that for as long as I live.
End of article.